If you will, let's turn to Ruth. Book of Ruth. You got Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and then 1st and 2nd Samuel. Turn to Ruth. I just couldn't get away. We mention that often, the kinsman redeemer. I just couldn't stop thinking about this week, this redeemer, this kinsman, Boaz. We call it the Book of Ruth, and this is about Boaz. And I think this will be better than bouillon for you. This will be a blessing. It was to me, and I think you'll just rejoice with me. So here in Ruth chapter 2, look at verse 1. Ruth 2, verse 1. And Naomi, we remember she had went down to Moab with her husband Elimelech, and they had two sons, and her husband was killed, and her sons had died. She was all alone down there in that place of Moab, and she was brought back to the house of bread. And she had two daughters-in-law, and the one wept and cried and hugged her and told her how much she loved her, but she wouldn't go with her. And Ruth said, "Wherever you go, I'm going. Whatever you eat, I'm eating. Wherever you die, I'm dying. Your God's my God. We're one. Unity." And they made it back there to the house of bread. And it says, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. This is the main character of the Book of Ruth. We always look to Ruth because that's us. We see how this affects us, but this is the bright and shining character of this whole book. The whole book. Whole Bible. He's the near kinsman. He's the kinsman redeemer. And he's a picture of Christ, our kinsman redeemer. That word redeem means to buy again, to buy back, to take possession of. If you see many of them, I thought there'd be more. It's a military town. Maybe if I go down there by the ocean. There's pawn shops, and you take something of value, put it in there, and you get a ticket. And whenever you go redeem that, you get it back. But you got to pay a price agreed upon before, but you get back what you have because you've redeemed it. You took that possession to you. It's your lawful possession. And either you can take it or a lawful representative of you may redeem it. Someone on your behalf can. God declares this in his law. This is a very old thing. If you look here in Leviticus 25, a few books to the left. Leviticus 25, verse 25. Leviticus 25, 25. If thy brother be waxen poor, and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. If you have the ability to buy it back, just go get it. If you want it and you can, if you want to go down and get something at Target, you just go get it. If you can and you want to. But this is someone that sold it because they had to sell it. They couldn't afford to keep it, and they have no means to redeem it. But if you've got a brother, if you've got a relation to you, they can go buy that for you. That's legal. They can do that. They can redeem it for you, and it goes right back to being yours. If they're so pleased. If they have the ability and they're pleased. And the Lord goes through there about if you sold land and those things. And if you can't get it, nobody else can get it. Nobody's willing to. You got to wait. You got to wait till that year of Jubilee. But look down in verse 47. Sometimes a man's so poor that you sell yourself. This isn't just about a home or a prized object or something like that. This is ourselves. Leviticus 25, 47. And if a sojourner or a stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or the stock of the stranger's family. After that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin. If they're closely related to you and they're willing to do this, that's, well, we're second cousins. That's close enough. You're related. Unto him of his family may redeem him. Or if he be able, he may redeem himself. Well, if you've sold yourself into sin, into slavery, you can't redeem yourself. You'd wax poor. That's how you got there in the first place. And the hole that we're in, this is a picture of sin. the hole that we're in, we just keep digging deeper and deeper and deeper. And anything I try to do to climb out, it just makes it fall in on you more, doesn't it? So it has to be somebody that's able to do it, somebody that's willing to do it, and they have to be related to us. A cow don't count. A giraffe won't do. This has to be a human. A human has to do this, like just like me. That means they have to be awful worthy too, don't they? Who is this poor brother? This one that sold themselves in. Look here in Psalm 49. Psalm 49. Psalm 49, verse 6. A brother that's become so poor, they've sold themselves away. They're not able to redeem themselves back. That's every sinner that's died in Adam. That's us. No sinner can redeem himself. And we can't get out from underneath that divine justice. And I can't help you, and you can't help me. We're in bad shape, ain't we? Psalm 49, verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. It ain't just talking about money, is it? That's all the other idols we have. I'm pretty smart. I can push through. Or I'm big and strong for a moment until a bug gets inside of me. None of them can by, verse 7, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom. Verse 9, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. There's no riches that we can even consider or think of, or any talents or abilities that's in us. I can't redeem myself, and I can't redeem somebody else. I can't be of no help to anybody by myself. And this is important. See verse 8, that's in parentheses. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. This we have a soul, and the Lord has to make it valuable to us. We have to see the importance of our own soul. And this is eternal matters, and there's going to be an eternal death. It's going to cease forever. But that redemption, I can't do it, you can't do it, I can't do it for you, you can't do it for me. For this soul that's so cast down, so sold to sin, for it to be redeemed, the act of that, oh, that's precious. This is important. This is important. Now, if that's precious to you, I'll tell you what, I'll jump ahead. The one that does it's going to be even more precious. Our eyes are going to lock on that one. There's going to be nothing but love and adoration and praise. Oh, it's going to be precious. Lord does this. We'll find him precious. That's what the scriptures say. Christ is the Redeemer because he alone is able. He can take that justice of God, all that the Lord requires, and it's precious because he had to sacrifice himself for it. He gave himself a ransom. Paul told us there in Romans 3, being justified, we've all sinned. All of us come short of the glory of God. But being justified freely by his grace, because he wanted to. Nothing in us. Through the redemption, this is a redeemed possession, that's in a person, Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Christ is our kinsman redeemer. We see that from his law. The right to redemption was always dependent on those three things. It had to be related, had to be kin, able, and it had to be willing. Willing to do it. Boaz was a near kin to Ruth. And that son of God became our kinsman by being incarnated, by being born of a woman, being made under that law. He became a man, really, in the flesh. Taking on the nature of all God's chosen people, all of his seed, and he was holy and without sin, that he might redeem his people. And he bore all that guilt and all that punishment. And we can't even enter into that because he wanted to. And he was able. He was made like us. And I couldn't do it, and he can. You couldn't do it, and he did it. He did it. Well, let's see next hour. It's finished. Where does that leave us? Happy. Rejoicing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And we don't. There's days I woke up this morning sad and tired. Wondering why my back hurt. Maybe this evening I'll get down and sad too. We were in this old body of death. It happens to all of us. But when we get a glimpse of him, when he makes this precious to us, boy, it's real precious. Real precious. Real precious. Christ is able to redeem. This man, Boaz, was of great wealth. His name means strength. Boaz means strength. Christ is able to redeem because of his great wealth and his power, his strength to be God and man, the God-man. And the Father gave Christ our kinsman redeemer. He gave him all power over all flesh, didn't he? It said, as he has given them power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. God chose a people. That's not offensive if you see that none of us deserve to be chosen. You know how it was on a kindergarten or whatever, playground, and you don't get picked for a sport. You feel sad, don't you? So, I deserve to be picked. I was tall. People picked me for basketball, and then real fast, they found out I wasn't good at basketball, and then they was the ones that was sad. But the Lord picked us. He loves Jacob. If we realize we're Esau's by nature, that's all we are. It's not that, how could God hate Esau? No, how could he love Jacob? Because of this one. Because of this person. Because of his blood that was shed. The price, method of redemption. Boaz is going to be willing to redeem Ruth. That one that hung on that cross for the joy that was set before him. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down willingly. I'm doing this. And this one, our master, our kinsman, he's fully able and fully willing. Now here's back in our text there in Ruth 2. Ruth chapter 2. Here's our kinsman redeemer, just as pure, sovereign, holy, unblemished grace towards his people. We see this picture of God's sovereign. We see who he is, and we see him drawing in that grace his child to our Redeemer. Verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in a field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Only God's irresistible love can make a sinner just desire and be hungry for his grace. In those days, those old laws, whenever you harvested a field, it was grain or corn or whatever, you couldn't do the corners. You had to leave those. And if something fell down, you had to leave it. And that way the poor folks could come through, the homeless could come through and glean and take it in. Our homeless problem's increasing in this nation, but it ain't nothing like this. And they'd go through and they'd get some food to have. And Ruth said, I'm going to go down there and maybe they'll be gracious to me. But she was brought down there. She was drawn to God's house out of hunger. And she's going to find out two things. She's going to find out she's poor. I guess you'd think about that a lot, wouldn't you? She's down there digging through corn that happened to, or wheat happened to land on the ground. How did I end up here? Well, I used to have it good. How did I end up here? She's going to find out personally, one-on-one, she's the poor one. And she's going to hear about a wealthy kinsman. A message is going to come to her. And a result of that, Naomi, she says to Naomi, let me go to the field and glean the ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. If I find anything to eat, it's just going to be a grace alone. That's it. Someone's about to be gracious to me. That's what God does in his child by his grace. He draws us to that house of bread, to his field, and he teaches us we're poor. And he has to divinely reveal that in our hearts, that we're unable to redeem ourselves, we're under the curse of the law, and he brings us in that need to find grace in the one that provides. We'll look at that next hour too. Jehovah Jireh, the one that provides. What good news. When a poor sinner finds himself saying, let me go after him whose eyes I might find grace. Then that poor sinner, if we ever come to that point, we've already found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If we ever brought down to digging through a cornfield and we said, Lord, you're going to have to be gracious to me. I want you to be gracious. I know there's nothing in me to earn it. I don't want a fair wage. That's death. I need grace. If a sinner's truly in the heart looking to Christ and begging for that, you've already found it. That's an act of grace to be there. To ask for grace is the Lord being gracious to us. It is. Something revealed in us. We see this in the Lord's providence, don't we? A sinner flees to Christ, and it's because it's according to God's eternal purpose and his power and his providence and his will. That's the only reason. Verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap, that means it just so happened, her hap was to light on part of the field belonging to Boaz, which was of the kindred of Elimelech. Just so happened. Her hap. I thought the Lord's the best storyteller that ever was. He's the best writer, the best poet, the best teacher. He knows just how to word things so we can get a hold of it, don't we? He did. This wasn't luck of the draw. The Lord's just speaking to us in terms we understand. This is an eternal purpose. Throughout time, he purposed to have this woman, this Ruth, this Moabitess, marry Boaz, and they're going to have a son named Obed. And he's going to have a couple of children. One of them is going to be named Jesse. Down the line, we're going to have King David all the way down. In that house of David, there's going to be Christ. He's purposed this from eternity. And that same way that every sinner God saves, nothing's by accident, nothing's insignificant, nothing's out of his control. His all-wise providence to save his children, and in doing so, Ruth gets the benefit in this, don't we? We get a hold of that because we're poor. Boaz gets all the glory. The Redeemer, the kinsman Redeemer is the one that gets all the glory. We didn't help. We didn't hold the basket while he did the work. We didn't do nothing. We just laid at his feet. She laid down at his feet later on. She's probably cold. Let me put that blanket over her. Warms his face while he's laying down. Wasn't doing nothing. Our hap. Just so happened. You might be driving down the road one day and see a church pulling. Just so happened. Coming underneath the sound of the gospel. Being given bread of life. Being made to know our inability, our hunger. And that he's provided everything through that law. Put away sin. Put away death. Conquered every bit of it. And we're at his feet. If God be for us, if our kinsman redeemer be for us, who could be against us is what we'll say. He did all of it. And like our sister Ruth, when we seek Christ, the only one that can be gracious, if we're truly made to seek him, we find him. If we've truly been given a hunger, we'll be fed. If we're truly made thirsty, we'll have plenty to drink. Every time. All who truly seek Christ will find him, and they'll be instructed by him. Here in verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Boaz came from Bethlehem to his field where Ruth was gleaning. Lord comes through his spirit from his house above to his church, to this field, this field of labor, through his word and through a message from him for his children. It says in verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless thee. Lord bless thee. I've had people tell me that throughout the week, and I say that too, and I mean it, and I hope I understand how much I mean it, and I hope I understand how much they mean it. Lord be with you today. Lord bless you. I pray for you. I pray the Lord's with you all this morning. And somebody texted that to me real early this morning. I was thankful. I wrote them back. I pray the Lord's with you too. Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and give you peace. Let you see his countenance. See him. He's precious. Verse 5. And it said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel's this? Who's she? He knows everybody that's supposed to be there and everybody that's not there. And he notices something. Knows it all. And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, she asked us, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now. That she tarried a little in the house. She's been here all day. She ate some lunch. They gave a full report, didn't they? She came to us. We let her. She's hungry. That's right. Let her eat. And buddy, I tell you what, she's working hard. Been here all day, morning till night. Right? So she's real hungry. She's probably got some other people she knows that's going to be hungry. She's going to have something to give them. Have something to have for Naomi, isn't it? When someone new, a new person comes and they begin to desire that to hear that simple gospel preached, they're like Ruth saying, let me glean. They've been drawn there in Christ's field. And his people, through his preachers and his people, all of us, we preach Christ. We. they begin to speak Christ to them, and they begin praying for them, don't they? You ever had a friend or a loved one or an enemy? I don't bring too many enemies to church with me. I should. They won't work with me. They won't pray with me either. But if we had an enemy with us, and they was there sitting in a pew next to us, and they was hearing that message, and their eyes were rejoicing, wouldn't you want them to rejoice? These people gave a report of that. They prayed for them. The masters give our Redeemer. He gives the message and the command to those that labor in his field. It's already there. All of them. They're all his servants. Boaz owns the whole thing. He said, you leave handfuls of purpose for them. She's there. Who's that? That's a damsel. That's the Moabites. Leave handfuls of purpose. What purpose? Well, we got to go out and give corn to the poor. No, that ain't what we're talking about. Help those. If somebody needs help, help them. Somebody needs to take a gas or some groceries, buy them some groceries. That's fine. That's good. But tell them about God's purpose. His purpose in electing grace, his purpose in redeeming grace, that's what we're looking at today, in regenerating grace, that's what's going to happen to Ruth. Through all this, there's a new life growing, a plant's growing there. From that seed, a preserving grace, it won't wither, it ain't going to fade away, it's going to bring forth fruit. He's the owner of the vineyard. He's the one that prunes all these things and does all these things. And it's all in that person, it's all in that Redeemer. And we're complete in him. We're complete in him. Then in his time, Christ speaks to that child who he drew underneath his word. He brought him there to his field, and he talks to him. He speaks. Verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in any in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. You don't go nowhere else. Don't you go getting food nowhere else. You go eat right here with my people. You don't want to go nowhere, but I'm going to take good care of you. There ain't food nowhere else. There's food here. And let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Just like everybody else in that field. You're going to eat the same thing they eat? That you're going to drink out of the same well that they're drinking out of? You drink all you want and eat all you want. Ain't nobody going to bother you. You stay right there. I've told them. I've commanded it. I have. That's so. Is somebody going to sneak one over on the Lord and hurt one of his sheep and him not know about it? Oh, that's the master of the field. It's his field. He's faith. Christ draws his child to his field, and Christ comes to that field, and he gives a message to drop handfuls of purpose just for that child. And Christ speaks to his child and gives that effectual command. That means it gets the job done. Hear me, my daughter. Hear. Don't go glean another field. I'm your man. You ain't got to worry about finding nothing else. Boy, we learned that this week, didn't we? I'm your provider. He's provided everything. You feed on my gospel and this gospel alone. You eat this gospel, you don't want to eat no other gospel. Some can eat this gospel, that gospel, whatever gospel. But if you're related to this one, if he's bought you, from before time, and he ain't revealed it yet. You're going to eat in this field, you can't eat in another field. I have no desire to eat in another field. You're in Christ's fields now. You abide fast with my maidens. And y'all got the same story. We do. I do. You do. We do, don't we? They did too. This boy Boaz is something, isn't he? They're good food here. That water's clear and clean, and he's good to us every day. He's wonderful. People ask, where are you glean? I'm down under Boaz. You heard about him? I've sat under Boaz. Christ commands his child to follow his people as they follow him. And he promises nobody's going to hurt you. I've commanded it. What a thought. What's the result of that effectual grace? Here's the result when Christ speaks effectually to the heart through the Holy Spirit. Verse 10. Ruth 2, verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? Isn't that what we looked at recently? All those prophets of old, Isaiah and Job, and whatever one of them do, Moses. I'm prostrate before the Lord. God told Chapman and Army told me, this. We mortars coming in, you got to lay down and try to get in a shelter. And he said, everyone now is prostrate before the Lord. Buddy, don't mock him. He puts us in the dirt. That's bowing. That's bowing. That's looking to him alone and not to ourselves. Boy, it's a good place to be. You ain't going to starve to death there. She bowed down. She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? If thou shouldst take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger. I ain't nothing like you. I'm a stranger. I'm a foreigner. I'm an alien. And she comes to him. Why have I found grace? Have you ever asked yourself, has the Lord been good to you? And you thought, why has he been so good to me? That's grace. That's what grace is. It was unmerited. We didn't do nothing for him to do it. And aren't you just amazed? Ain't you thankful? My dad said that, and I thought, well, he's just crazy. He had all kinds of little crazy things. He said, the Lord's blessed me in spite of myself. I said, what's that even mean? And then I grew some. and as much as I seem like I'm swimming against the current and doing everything I can to undo everything the Lord's done, he's merciful and gracious. I was having fellowship with a fellow this week. We didn't sit down and talk about, you know, theological standpoints or what's happening in the Lord's providence. He owns a bunch of chicken coops. And he said, well, I got these chicken houses, him and his brothers. And he said, used to, me and my brother, when we get a new chicken house or we get a new tractor, we just say, well, we need to get a new tractor. And they'd go get a new tractor. And he said, all those years, he knew the Lord from a young man. He's older now. And he said, all those years, he said, not once did I ask the Lord and pray about me getting a tractor. Or say, Lord, is this your will for us that we'd have another chicken house? A big chicken, not chicken house like I have. They got 30, 40,000 chickens in each house. And he said, I never did ask. He said, boy, the Lord taught me that. And he said, now I pray about it and ask him and look to him for just daily things. He said, and when I wasn't asking him all those years, he blessed me in spite of myself. He was good to us anyway. And that just makes me love him all the more, don't you? You seen that theology life? How neglectful we were, I was. I didn't ask the Lord about that. I didn't seek his face. I didn't seek his wisdom. I didn't wait on him. And regardless of me, he's faithful. You love him yet? You in love yet? You want to get married? I have to sit and think about it. I talked to a friend of mine, old Army buddy, and he's thinking about getting married. He said, I've been thinking about this for weeks. And I said, if you got to think that long, there's your answer. It's like, well, my children needed a kidney. I just said, well, let me think about that a couple. Take it. Cut me open now. Here. We're going to sit on that fence and see if we're in love with this kinsman redeemer. But we love him. We love him. We love him. You can't keep from him. Verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto my mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. And how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work. A full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Boaz says, you left your mom and your dad to come here to eat, and you've left your nations that you was born unto, all that identity you had to come here to eat. Come here to be redeemed. And you didn't really know his people, but you said, that's my people. And you clung to him. And the Lord's done this. And you're going to get a full reward. He said, look how good you was to your mother-in-law. She's hungry and you fed her. She's in jail and you visit her. She was sick and you took her some chicken noodle soup. What's he say? Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well, you've done wonderful. When did we ever see Naomi sick? When did we ever? She wasn't ever in prison. What are you talking about? Isn't what the Lord talked about? Same thing. He said, oh, we did wonderful works in your name, and we witnessed in your name, and we've done all these great things. We healed the sick in your name. He said, apart from me, I don't know you. You're telling me all the stuff you did. And he'll look at those and said, Lord, we never saw you in prison. We never saw you sick. And he said, you did wonderful. Why? Because you've been redeemed. You're in that one that did it all for you. Boaz is about to change her last name. You get that? They're going to get married. She's going to have to learn how to sign checks different. Start practicing signing that last name. We've been given a last name, ain't we? We've been married. How did she do all that? Paul told us in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You ain't going to brag about it. You're going to brag about him. For we are his workmanship. He's done all this. Created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Walk in them. What's the good works? What's those acts of righteousness? Well, 1 John, just over and over and over again. We've got two things. Believe Christ, love your brethren. Believe Christ, love your brethren. How can we not believe him? There's a new creation in us that can't see him. It's holy, without blame, unreprovable. In his sight, before him in love, we're right there with him. Can't keep from it. Can't get from it. That kinsman redeemer. He's redeemed all of his elect. He ain't going to lose one. And we're drawn to seek him. And if time goes on, all those that he's loved before time with an everlasting love, they're going to be brought to him too. And they're going to be made hungry. And they're going to bow down. And he's going to water them and feed them and look after them and command their protection and everything and keep them and give them a new name all the way to the end. And all who seek him, they're going to find him and they'll be instructed by him. Seek and you'll find. Knock, it shall be given. What a wonderful command, isn't it? Look to the Redeemer. Can we follow that command? Can we keep from it? We see him. That's where we want to look. I pray it's a blessing to you. It was to me. Let's pray together. Father, how often we forget about your field, about your corn, your wells, your water, and the precious kinsman that's provided it all for us. Thank you for the faithfulness of Christ. What a wonderful Redeemer we have, Lord. We seem like strangers. Why have we found grace in his sight? Marvelous grace, infinite grace. Lord, draw us. Keep us there. Keep us with your maidens and your fields. Feed us as you so faithfully have. Lord, draw those that yet know him, don't yet know Christ. Draw those to this field to hear of him. Bless their hearts. Feed their souls, Lord, as you promised you will. We know you will. But we ask and raise up laborers for this harvest. Raise up more servants, Lord, as you've commanded us to, that for those that are in need. Young men or old men, you know. And your will be done. Thank you for your providence of allowing us to see this take place. And thank you for the work you've done in the hearts of your people, Lord, in spite of ourselves. It's because of Christ we ask these things. Amen. All right, friends. We'll meet back at 10:30.